Good morning. We are excited that this day is finally here. We've been planning for this and for you to be here, all of our guests, visitors, family, friends. We're thrilled that you're here with us today. It makes our day. It's a big deal to us, but we're really here for God, and we know that. He's the one that we've come to honor, and without a doubt, God is pleased that we would all be right here today, lifting up His name, worshiping Him, and so we praise God today together. It's a special day. This past Wednesday afternoon, I know I have a story that's not too much different, I'm sure, than many of us this past Wednesday. It was quite a day. Mid-afternoon, sometime in the afternoon, I heard a siren go off. You know, the old brain starts thinking there for a minute. It's not Friday at noon and sunny outside. That's when they test those. So this must be something. So I don't know, maybe there's a storm coming. I turn on the news, and about that time the phone rings. Sydney and I were home. Stephanie and Abby were at school, not too far away, a few blocks, but they were at Pratt Elementary. And so I'm answering her call and turning on the weather, and she's asking what's going on, and the weather comes up, and probably a thunderstorm coming. Yeah, well, you know, maybe some straight-line winds is what I'm thinking. But I look a little further, and I see the little curlicues. Oh, no, there's rotation. And then I try to calculate, you know, how much time do we have? It looks like there's enough time, so get home. So she comes home. Sydney and I, our hidey-ho, our safe place, is under the stairs in a closet. Which, when was the last time we had a tornado warning? We were under tornado warning. It's been a while. Well, at the Dunn household, if there's a closet downstairs in the middle of the house, there's a lot of stuff going in there. So, you know, Sydney and I are pitching stuff out of here, throwing it everywhere, getting ready. It was the most frightened I had been in a storm, really. And I kind of like storms. They get me, I'm a typical Oklahoman. I like to stand on the porch during the storm, watch the storm close to safety. We'd watch the storm for a little bit, and then I'd see things start to fly around and make me think of the movie Twister, and I'm back in the hidey-ho. You know, I'm thinking this is about to happen. It was quite a day. And then after all of it, the next day I'm thinking, Elliot, you're preaching Sunday. You know, it's a big day, but our town has had a major experience. Maybe you ought to preach on something that would fit with what's happened this week. And then it dawns on me, I'm talking to myself, self, you're preaching a sermon about Jesus walking to his apostles in a storm. And so open your Bibles this morning. Matthew 14, this was already planned. Matthew 14, verse 22. Jesus has fed the 5,000, and he dismissed his apostles first and said, go on the other side of the we would call it a lake, the Sea of Galilee. So he dismisses them first. They're in the boat. They're headed across the lake. Then he dismisses the 5,000 and spends some time alone. And in Matthew 14:22, Scripture says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat, go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Jesus has just spent time ministering to people, multiplying food. He taught, he preached, and now he wants to spend some time alone with God. Now, Scripture tells us that Jesus would do this often. Luke 5:16 says Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And it makes me think, how often do we get in a quiet place and just pray? How often do we find, it's not always convenient. Jesus had to send the apostles away, and honestly, they probably wanted to stay because the crowd, after all the feeding and after that event, guess what the crowd wanted to do? They wanted to make Jesus king. Not Messiah kind of king, not down a cross kind of king. They wanted to make him king. Let's get the horses, let's get the swords, the chariots, let's get after it. And the apostles probably wanted a big part of that. Remember, they wanted to be on his right and left, and who was going to be the greatest and all this business. And it wasn't convenient for Jesus to get by himself, but he did. And it's just a reminder, we need to do more of that, don't we? We need to do more of turning things off. During the storm was the first time I can remember in years, probably since we've had cell phones, that I haven't had cell phone service. I always thought if a storm came and we lost the TV, hey, I've got this smartphone, I mean, what do I not have on this thing? Well, that was out. And talk about off the grid. And what are we going to do now? Well, I guess we'll talk. You know, we had flashlights and we talked in our hidey hole. We need to get quiet more and talk to God. Well, so Jesus is alone. Now it's the middle of the night and Jesus goes out to the apostles, not in a boat. He just walks. He walks on the water. But before he does that, the apostles are trying to cross the lake. Well, a storm comes up while they're doing this. The lake is about 6 miles wide. Another one of the Gospels tells us they're about midpoint in the Sea of Galilee. They've made it that far, and actually it's about, to throw an accurate guess, it's about 4:30 in the morning. They're in the middle of this lake. They've made it 3 miles. They have 3 miles to go, and a storm has come up, and they're having a very difficult time. And Jesus goes out to them. And when he walks to them, when they see Jesus walking to them, they are terrified. Now, there are a couple, one reason they're terrified is this storm. It's taken them almost all night, and they're only halfway. Now, some of the apostles are experienced seamen. I mean, this is not their first rodeo. They ought to know how to do this. So it's a significant storm. They're already afraid because of that. They see Jesus walking on the water. In the first century, there were a couple superstitions that maybe the apostles thought this way as they saw Jesus. One superstition was that the sea was the home of evil spirits. That's one that was common in the first century. Another is that it was a bad omen if you were to see a ghost, that it was an omen of evil. So here you have the apostles. They're in a storm. No doubt they're at least having some thought of, are we going to make it? And then they see a ghost, which to some in the first century is like a black cat crossing the road. I mean, this is a bad sign. And they were terrified. But Jesus says to them in verse 27, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. The word take courage in the Greek, which would be what was spoken in the Greek, the word is tharseo. And it means fear to be replaced with confidence. Jesus didn't say, guys, relax. He didn't just say that. He said, relax and cheer up. Be of good cheer. Some of you husbands will understand what I'm about to talk about. As a married man of 18 years now, I'd like to say that early on I learned not to do something. But truthfully, it took a little more than early on. Steph's back in the nursery, so I can say anything today. you know, should be upset. Husbands, if your wives, don't nod, don't say amen, just give me a little wink or something. But if your wives, there have been times where your wife is upset, or she's stressed, or worried, or even mad about something, and you say to her, you say, calm down. Calm down, right? I should have learned early that that's not the thing to say. It took me a little while. Calm down. But I finally did. You know, to the young guys in the crowd, maybe newlyweds or even, you know, young men who will likely be married someday, let me give you some really good advice. Don't say calm down. Say something more like everything's going to be okay. Or even better than that, I understand. I understand, right? Old timers, old guys, I understand. Jesus didn't just say, it's okay. He said, cheer up. Now, how can you cheer up in the middle of a storm? But the reality is, when God is near, joy should be also. When God is near me, I should also be joyful. Well, because maybe it's in good times And if things are going good, I should be joyful because God's the reason. We give God praise for everything. Every good and perfect gift is from above. But what if it's in the middle of a storm? What if it's in the middle of a crisis or a trial or suffering? And let me ask you this question. When has God done the most for you? Now, of course, He sent His Son to die for us, but I'm talking about in your lifetime, in your answered prayers, when has God done the most for you? Hasn't it been in the middle of a storm, a trial, a crisis? So the truth is, in crisis, we are about to see God at His best. And that's why we should have joy. Look at what the apostles are about to see. Jesus says, cheer up, guys. And what are they about to see? Not only the Son of God, the first man to ever walk on water, but they're about to see a mere mortal, Peter. They're about to see him walk on water. And so cheer up. Well, Peter says, hey, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, come. Peter gets down out of the boat. He walks on the water, comes toward Jesus. I love that we serve a God who says, come. I love that we serve a God who loved us so much He sent His Son to die for every one of us. I love that we serve a God who is not a respecter of persons, but wants all to come to salvation. And we welcome all, don't we? Don't we invite all to come? We want all to come. Jesus welcomes sinners. We want sinners to come. We love them too much to let them stay in sin, living in sin, and God does too. God loves you too much to let you keep doing or living a sinful life. But we would help people lovingly. We want all people to come. Jesus welcomes sinners. We do. Jesus welcomed the children. Remember, they tried to keep the children from Him. Jesus welcomed the children. Next Sunday, we'll have an Easter egg hunt for our children. They'll love that. They'll have a great time. It's a part of our American heritage. It's just something we enjoy doing. We'll do that next week. Children are important to us. Think about this. Even though Peter, now he's going to step out on the water. He's going to sink and Jesus has to rescue him. But think about Peter's courage. I don't know why Peter wanted to walk on water, honestly. That is unnatural. I mean, you should not naturally want to do that. But he did. But think about this. You have men from the Old Testament, the names Moses, Joshua, Elijah, Elisha. These are power hitters from the Old Testament. And all four of those men performed miracles that had to do with water. Parting the water. Other miracles. But only one mortal man ever walked on water. And that was the Apostle Peter. Well, when he sees the wind, Scripture says in verse 30, he was afraid. And he asked Jesus to save him. Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus and he focuses on the wind, probably the waves. And he begins to be afraid. And the truth is, we feel what we focus on. If you look at your problems long enough, you will be afraid. If you look at, have you ever done this? Look at what others have that you don't have. Look at it long enough and you will feel envy. Look at how people have wronged you long enough and you'll feel bitterness. Look at your own failures long enough and you'll feel like a failure. Yesterday, Mom and Dad, or Friday, they were finally able to close on their new house, and it's been quite an ordeal closing on this property and some property they've been selling. But yesterday, they moved to their new home, and that's an exciting thing. That's a great thing. And so it was a busy day, but there was one point in the day that was kind of, some were at one house and some were at the other, and I was, a few of us were at the old house, and a little downtime, and there was a notepad that I saw laying out on the counter. And it was somewhat personal, but I thought, you know, not too personal if you leave it laying out. Plus, we're family. So I looked at it, right? And at the top, it said, blessings, and it had a couple dates. It was past few days, past week. Had a list of blessings. See, when you're trying to close on one property to sell and another property to buy and coordinate when we're going to move and who's going to help come help move and all the utilities, and yet that's a big ordeal, trying to get everything to sync up. A lot of stress. But on this list were item after item. God's done this for us. God's done this for us. God's done this for us. It's no wonder my dad's always cheerful. He's always thinking about his blessings. You think about what God has done for you, and you'll have joy. And Peter did fine until he looked at the wrong thing. Well, Jesus reaches out and he catches him, he saves him, but notice this. Jesus tells Peter, "You of little faith." And he tells him that before they even get into the boat. You have little faith. Why did you doubt? On the one hand, I think maybe Jesus is frustrated with Peter. Why did you doubt? But on the other hand, I think maybe also Jesus is, he's just disappointed because he wanted Peter to succeed fully. Peter, it didn't have to be that way. If you'd have kept believing, you could have walked to me and we would have both walked back in the boat, Peter. But nevertheless, why did you doubt? And it makes me wonder, how much would God do for us if we would just believe more? When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Read that again. When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. The wind didn't die down while Peter is walking on water. It dies down when they get back into the boat. Why did it die down? It died down because Jesus made it die down. And I wonder if Peter thought, once it died down, if Peter thought, Jesus, why didn't you do that before I walked on the water? He could have done that, and he could have said, Peter, I want you to come to me, but hold on. Peace. I know good and well you're not going to make it if I don't calm this thing. So let me calm it first. Now you step out of the boat. Why did Jesus let Peter try to walk on water in the storm? And the answer is, God wants us to trust Him during the storms. He wants us to trust Him during the storms. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Psalm 23. We're going to have storms. But God wants us to trust Him in the storm. Sometimes God gives us peace from the storm, and sometimes God gives us peace in the storm. Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Cheer up, that's in the storm. That's not when the waves are calm and the wind is calm. That's the wind's still blowing, the waves are still going. Cheer up. And then sometimes, peace be still, the wind dies down, and God gives us peace from the storm. Well, would you believe that when the wind died down, at that moment the apostles worshiped Jesus? When everything went calm, they said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Why didn't they worship Him in the storm? The reality is, it's a lot easier for us as humans to worship God after the storm, isn't it? And we pray a lot in the storm. And if you were in it Wednesday, you prayed. Or you really forgot a really good thing to do in the middle of a storm. Pray. We prayed. I mean, people prayed who hadn't talked to God in a long time, didn't they? I've heard there are no atheists in a foxhole. And I would imagine there are very few atheists in the middle of a tornado. You start to believe. We need to worship God in the storm, don't we? In the middle of our crisis, in the middle of our suffering, in the middle of, God, why? Now, I already had this problem and this problem. Now I have this problem. Why? And we need to worship God then because He is with us. He's making us strong, and oftentimes He's about to do His best work. Oftentimes God's about to do amazing things, And we have a front row seat. Now, how amazing is that? I leave you with the thought of how close do I want to be to God? How close do I want to walk with Jesus? Because that's our goal in life. That's our job in life, is to walk with Jesus. Jesus, wherever you walk, I'll walk. Wherever you go, I'll go. My life's not my own. It's about you. And if Jesus, if you walk in a storm, we'll go in the storm. If the storm is calm and that's where we're walking, we'll walk there. This morning I want to offer you an invitation. We'll sing a song, and during this song, if you have something that is heavy on your heart, maybe pertaining to the sermon, maybe you want to turn your life around. There may be someone here this morning who you've never given your life to Christ. You've never become a Christian, had your sins washed away in baptism, and you want to do that now because you don't want to live any more days not being ready to meet God. If there's something you need this morning, please come while we stand and sing. When these lights are